So good to be here. We are delighted to be here today. So much I could say, but I love Brother and Sister Copeland and all these boys. I tell you, I can't believe they're all. They told me last night that Jordan. Caleb is married. Jordan's getting married. And I was telling Brother Copeland, it just seems like a few days ago that he came up to South Carolina and little Jordan was just standing on the truck seat. And it just seems like a little while ago, but I'm glad that Sister Busby's with me. And we'll hear from her tonight. Let me direct your attention to Ephesians. So good to see all my friends, everybody here, and I get in trouble if I start naming names, but I got to name Bill Kennedy. It's good to see you, brother, and all the ministry here. Praise God, Brother Stroh. It's good to see you, and different ones here. I think we might have should have let this man preach today. I think he had the anointing on him. Ephesians chapter 2. Somebody told me and said, you don't preach that much anymore, but when you preach for the best. And I believe that. I believe I'm at the best here this morning. Man, praise God. I see Robier back there. I was looking all over the house for him. There he is. All right. How many's going to help me preach today? Yes, praise God. Now, there's some people that can just preach. They don't need any help. I've seen those guys, but I'm not one of them. When I preach, I have to have everybody. Ephesians 2, and I know that you could quote this today. How many love the Word of God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's New Year's, am I right? So we're not in a hurry. It's not that I'm long-winded preaching. It's just I'm one of them kind of guys that stops in the middle and said, it's time to worship the Lord a little bit, and that eats up some time. So I'm not a long-winded preacher. Never been guilty of that. All right. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a good passage. I want to talk to you today. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Pastor, would you pray God's blessing? Those beautiful words, you may be seated. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Everybody say cornerstone. Cornerstone. You are built on a foundation of apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Are you glad today for your foundation? That you are no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but you're rooted and grounded on the pillar of truth. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I want to talk to you about the universal significance of Christ. Let's go to the 28th chapter of Isaiah. We'll lay a little groundwork. Jesus Christ is the only true foundation. My hopes are built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Isaiah 28:16, therefore saith, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I studied that out a little bit. I first read that. What does he mean, not make haste? I'm going to tell you in good old Southern vernacular. He that believeth on him shall not run away. I'm glad today that I'm not running to and fro, but that I have found that solid foundation. There is peace. There is security. There is hope when you know that you're on the solid rock foundation. Praise God. I read something about, here was a slogan some time ago, these colors don't run. Anybody saw that? Talking about the flag? Well, I'm going to tell you what, God's children don't run. The devil cannot run us around the block. The devil cannot scare us. We are not given a spirit of fear, but we know in whom we have believed. We know who we trust. Let's clap our hands. The universal significance of Christ. Christ is the only true foundation. My wife gets a little nervous when I start saying Christ like that. She said, you say Jesus. Praise God. We know that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is Almighty God. I said Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is God. He is not the second person of a fictitious Trinity. He is Almighty God. Without any other persons of God anywhere. Is this a one God, Jesus' name? Praise the Lord. Jesus is God. He is the only true foundation. I want somehow by the help of God to drive this imagery home to us today. The symbolism is very clear of a rock, of a stone that is the foundation of our salvation. We are not on shifting sand. The church is not built on man or philosophy or theology. The church is built on revelation of who Jesus is. Clap your hands. Praise God. The imagery of a cornerstone. The wise master builder carefully selects the stone that will become the head of the corner. It is prepared. It is worked upon. And there are things that are go into the importance of choosing this stone. I want you to realize who is speaking in this verse in Isaiah. It is the Lord God. He said, "Behold, I lay in Zion." The great creator of heaven and earth, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, omnipotent, omnipresent God said, "I want you to see what I'm doing. I want you to take note today. Hey, all of humanity, all of the whole world, all the ages of time, I'm going to lay a stone, a precious cornerstone." It is the most important stone in the building. It is the first and most prominent stone. The stone is laid exact with precision. It will become the supporting foundation of the entire building. The weight of every part of the structure will depend upon this rock. This rock joins it all together and supports and gives strength to the entire structure. Not only that, but the cornerstone is the benchmark. Every stone is laid in exact reference to that stone. No stone in the building is going to bear any preeminence over that cornerstone. It is the first and the foremost stone that is laid by the hand of Almighty God. Lord, help me right now. Lord, I'm trying to get something out of me. I'm trying to not get ahead of myself, but I feel that unction. I feel that anointing. As they say down where I was raised, I feel the anointing on me right now. And I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this place. And we might just take these walls down because we're talking about the foundation of our salvation. We're talking about that which brought us out of sin and set our feet upon solid rock. Hallelujah. None can compare to him. None can come close to him. He is the head of the corner. He is the foremost. He is preeminent. He is the cornerstone of our salvation. Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him we were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities, are all things created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus is God. Jesus is Almighty God without any other persons of God anywhere. Do you understand that the eternal God robed himself in flesh and came to live among us? Jesus is God. I don't know what I feel in this place because I know this is a one God church. But I feel something kicking back at me, and I want to set the record straight today. Jesus is Almighty God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angel, preached to the Gentile, believed on in the world. When was God manifest in the flesh? In Bethlehem's manger. Praise God. You may be seated. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The eternal spirit, omnipotent, self-existing God that spoke this world into existence, robed himself in human flesh and came to walk among us. Praise God. I know my wife's going to kill me when this service is over. I'm going to be a dead man when this service is over. But everything I preach, I run it through her because she is just unbelievable Bible scholar. And we was talking yesterday coming up here. And I was talking about, she said the purpose of the incarnation was sacrifice. I said, that's right. That was the ultimate purpose of incarnation. But the end result was preeminence. Oh, there's none like him. I agree with R.G. Lee. There never was another like him. He ransacked all of creation, defied similitudes and symbols to show forth his glorious preeminence. There never was another who took on humanity that I might take on divinity. There never was another who was rich yet for our sakes became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. There never was another. Can I get a witness in this place? Can somebody just praise him right now for who he is and what he is? He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the firstborn of every creature. You may be seated. Jesus is the central theme of the Bible. His death, burial, and resurrection is the focus point, the fulcrum point of the entire Word of God. Acts 10 and 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive redemption. His name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness here today? That his cross has become the center focus. It affects the entire world. Nothing compares to our Savior. 2,000 years ago, a thick cloud of spiritual darkness covered the entire world. Human life was cheap. 1/4 of Rome's population were slaves. Women were worth little more than livestock. Children were being offered on the altars of pagan gods. Four empires had taken their turn at ruling the world. Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Each empire boasted an emperor who conquered by brute force and kept his subjects under his thumb by main strength until the next great conqueror arose. In the days of the Roman Colosseum, the disregard for human life was on full display. Contestants fought to the death in the arena. The cheers of the crowd or the jeers of the crowd determined whether the loser would live or die. Into that world, Jesus Christ was born. He came with a new message. He came with a new testament. He came with a message of eternal life. He came with a message that whosoever believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The idea of a God of love was foreign to the pagan mind. They were used to gods who ruled from Mount Olympus, who were not interested in the affairs of men. But the cross conquered the Roman Empire, not by brute force, not by military strength, but by changing the hearts of men. It was as though Jesus and Caesar met in the arena and Christ won the victory. He is greater than all the kings of this world, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever ruled put together have not affected the life of man on this earth like that one solitary life of Jesus of Nazareth. In Romans, the 9th chapter, there's a little sentence, a little verse there. He says, Christ came, who is over all. He is over all. And it begins to talk about Abraham. And then goes to Moses and the great characters of the Bible. But a greater than Solomon is here today. A greater than Abraham is here today. A greater than the temple. Greater than the law of Moses. The cross of Jesus. Homer of the Greeks was great, but he was equaled, perhaps surpassed by Virgil, who was just as great. Demosthenes, the silver-tongued orator of Greece, finds an equal in Cicero, the Roman, and compare Socrates and Isocrates, and Marcus Aurelius and Antoliaster. But when you call the name of Jesus, it is the name that is greater than any name. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Come on, let's get louder. Let's praise him a little louder right now. Jesus! Jesus! Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is Almighty God. The incarnation. Somebody said, did God die on the cross? What died on the cross is what was born in Bethlehem. God down from his glory, ever living story. Are you glad that Jesus was born? But hey, there's power in his birth, but my. What about his death, burial, and resurrection? I'm glad for the resurrection. I can get excited about the cross. I can even get excited about the burial. But thank God on that third day, he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I was a kid. You may be seated. I was a kid. I'm going to confess my sins a little bit right now. When I was a kid, about 10 years old, I'd slip up to my cousin's house and watch TV with him. We watched some evil stuff like the Three Stooges and stuff like that. But I remember when they were going to send a man to the moon. And my dear grandmother never believed he really went to the moon. She still never did believe it till she died. But anyway, we was there in that living room. And the TV was kind of fuzzy and all this. And I heard that announcer, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have a liftoff. Well, I just kind of imagine angels down around Jerusalem on that third day. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have a resurrection. We have the resurrection. The stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to preach all day, young man. If you thought I was, you were mistaken. I am winding down now. Praise God. Jesus is the chief of the corner. The Apostle Paul said, you crucified the flesh. Acts 4:10. He said, you crucified the flesh. But he said, God, that eternal Spirit of God, raised that flesh back up, incorruptible. And he said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you glad for that name of Jesus? Are you glad for salvation in that name? Jesus Christ is the only great religious leader that promised his followers eternal life. You read about Muhammad, supposedly Muhammad. Supposedly Muhammad was son of Allah. They say that his footprint is still in the rock where he blasted off to go back to heaven. But the truth is, Muhammad's still in his grave. The truth is, Confucius still in his tomb. The Buddha still. And they were supposed to. Supposedly, Muhammad had great connection with God. Supposedly, Joseph Smith saw visions and angels and all this. But there is nothing, no hope given to their followers. Their followers have no supernatural experience. But the Apostle Paul said, repent and be baptized. And receive the Holy, for this promise is unto you and your children and them that are far off. You can get the Holy Ghost right here today. You can become a child of God and receive Holy Ghost experience. Praise God. Would you stand with me? Are you building your life on that cornerstone? What is the cornerstone? What is the foundation you build on? Some people build on education. Some people build on bank accounts and stock investments. And hey, don't leave me now, church. Come on, work with me here. Lift your hands right now. Ask God to help us in the benediction of this. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock." Are you building on that rock? Is Jesus the center of your life? I know it's an old song. I know it's used up, but could I get squeeze a little more out of it today? In times like these, we need a Savior. Be very sure your anchor holds. It's solid rock. Church family, would you help me now? There might be somebody in this place today that would like to make a start for the Lord. You'd like to start this year off right by receiving repentance and Holy Ghost baptism in your life today. Praise God. Pull with me, church. It might be that somebody here would like to strengthen their grip. You'd like to anchor deeper in the rock today. Well, Sister Paleo and the singers, Sister Copeland, while you sing, and Holy Ghost is moving, I'm going to open this altar. Jesus said, "Fall on this rock and be broken, lest this rock falls on you and grinds you to powder." While they sing, Holy Ghost is moving. You'd like to step out from where you are. You'd like to make a new start for the Lord today. You'd like to receive the Holy Ghost. Today they want to anchor in the rock today. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus at the center. Come on, come on. Find somebody to pray with right now.